That's on 1934, March 29th. It's Holy Thursday, during Holy Mass. Jesus says, I am giving you a share in the redemption of mankind. You are solace in my dying hour. When I received mission from my confessor, Father Sopoko, to make this act of oblation, I soon learned that it was pleasing to God because I immediately began to experience its effect. In a moment, my soul became like a stone, dried up, filled with torment and disquiet. All sorts of blasphemies, curses, kept pressing upon my ears. Distrust and despair invaded my heart. This is the condition of the poor people which I have taken upon myself. At first I was very much frightened by these horrible things, but during the first confession I sat at peace. Not easier when you come to some time, the kind of feeling if nothing's happened, you know, usually you've kind of quietness, peace, and suddenly this quietness and anxiety saying you have no way to go out. Well, sometimes we experience this, no? God allowing, eh? Once when I went outside the convent to go to confession at St. Michael's Church, I chanced upon my confessor, Father Sopoko, saying Mass just then. After a while, I saw the child Jesus on the altar, joyfully and playfully holding out his hands to him, to Father Sopoko. But a moment later, the priest took the beautiful child into his hands, broke him up, and ate him alive. At the first instant, I felt a dislike for the priest for having done this to Jesus. But I was immediately enlightened in the matter and understood that this priest was very pleasing to God. Once, when I was visiting the artist Eugene Kazimierowski, who was painting the image, and saw that it was not as beautiful as Jesus is, I felt very sad about it. But I hid this deep in my heart. When we had left the artist's house, Mother Superior Irene stayed in town to attend to some matters while I returned home alone. I went immediately to the chapel and wept a good deal. I said to the Lord, who will paint you as beautiful as you are? Then I heard these words, not in the beauty of the color, nor the brush lies the greatness of this image, but in my grace. So you may not find the image of Divine Mercy is not perfect. Jesus says, don't worry, not because the red is very red according to your taste, or the white, and you know, and the proportion and the way you don't like, that doesn't matter. It matters His grace. So sometimes we have all the images of the, you know, the saints or Jesus or Mary, you know. Sometimes look good, and sometimes not look good, not that good, no. It doesn't matter. It's not there. It's a grace. When I went to the garden one afternoon, my guardian angel said to me, pray for the dying. And so I began at once to pray the rosary with the gardeners for the dying. After the rosary, we said various prayers for the dying. After the prayers, the wards began to chat gaily among themselves. In spite of the noise they were making, I heard these words in my soul, pray for me. But as I could not understand these words very well, I moved a few steps away from the words, trying to think who it could be who was asking me to pray. Then I heard these words, "I'm Sister so-and-so." This sister was in Warsaw while I was at that time in Vilnius. "Pray for me until I tell you to stop." I think it's so imperfectory, asking for prayers. Not yet. He said, "I am dying. Pray for me until I tell you to stop. I am dying." Immediately, I began to pray fervently for her and addressing myself to the expiring heart of Jesus. She gave me no respect, and I kept praying from 3 o'clock until 5. At 5, I heard the words, "Thank you." And I understood that she had died. But during Holy Mass on the following day, I continued to pray fervently for her soul. In the afternoon, a postcard came out saying that sister had died at such a time. I understood that it was at the same time, same hour, when she said to me, "Pray for me. I think the person is dying. Maybe already in Jesus, before Jesus. So maybe she means something. So she needs Sister Faustina to do some penance so that she can enter once, maybe their doorway can enter." Mother of God, your soul was plunged into a sea of bitterness. Look upon your child and teach her to suffer and to love while suffering. Fortify my soul that pain will not break it. Mother of grace, teach me to live by the power of God. She's talking to our Heavenly Mother. You see, Mother of God, your soul was plunged into a sea of bitterness. Look upon your child and teach her to suffer and to love while suffering. So when we suffer, it's difficult to love. We are thinking, when there is no pain, then I can continue to love. But it's not this way. Even when you are suffering, continue to love. Never stop to love. Never stop. At times we are weak, and I'm more at ease, I'm soothed, and everything is okay. Especially when you're not okay, you have to go ahead. Once the Mother of God came to visit me, she was sad. Her eyes were cast down. She made it clear that she wanted to say something. And yet, on the other hand, it was as if she did not want to speak to me about it. When I understood this, I began to beg the Mother of God to tell me and to look at me. Just then, Mary looked at me with a warm and smile and said, "You are going to experience certain sufferings because of an illness and the doctors. You will also suffer much because of the image, but do not be afraid of anything." The next day, I fell ill and suffered a great deal, just as the Mother of God had told me. But my soul was ready for the sufferings. Suffering is a constant companion of my life. Oh my God, my only hope, I place all my trust in you, and I know I shall not be disappointed. So we have to say this prayer always. Even you are not went through, not yet going through all the turmoils around you, but still keep this trust. He said, "You go ahead with the Lord. Never stop." I often feel God's presence after Holy Communion in a special and tangible way. I know God is in my heart, and the fact that I feel Him in my heart does not interfere with my duties. Even though I'm dealing with very important matters which require attention, I do not lose the presence of God in my soul. I'm closely united with Him. You have to learn these things. Pay attention to do everything if that's important. For love means you pay attention. But that doesn't mean that you go away from the Lord. She's to teach us. Close to the Lord, always in His presence, and do your work well. But because you are, I'm praying, go in the seventh heaven, and then you don't look at anything. You look at the person, treat this person well, and listen to the person with the heart of Jesus, though. I think that's the way. With Him, with the Lord, I go to work. With Him, I go for recreation. With Him, I suffer. With Him, I rejoice. I live in Him and He in me. I'm never alone because He is my constant companion. He is present to me at every moment. Our intimacy is very close through a union of blood and life. So don't feel yourself alone, although your parents or relatives or your children or in the Philippines, you're not unknown. Don't complain. Jesus, I'm alone. Nobody look at me. No, this I am with you forever and ever. So you have to feel secure, His presence. And whatever you do with Him, in Him, for Him, that's the only way. Is it beautiful? Simple. Okay, now even when I'm dealing with very important matters which require attention, I do not lose the presence of God in my soul. And I'm closely united with Him. With Him, I go to work. With Him, I go for recreation. With Him, I suffer. With Him, I rejoice. I live in Him and He in me. I'm never alone because He is my constant companion. He is present to me at every moment. Our intimacy is very close through a union of blood and life. So when you receive Holy Communion, His blood and life is come to you, and that's how you keep it. Right? You are the tabernacle of the Blessed Sacrament the whole day. You keep Him in you. August 9th, 1934. Night adoration on Thursdays. I make my hour of adoration from 11 o'clock till midnight. I offer it for the conversion of hardened sinners, especially for those who have lost hope in God's mercy. I was reflecting on how much God had suffered and on how great was the love He had shown for us, and on the fact that we still do not believe that God loves us so much. We are reluctant to believe, as if God is far, far away. We don't know that He suffered so much on the cross. It's mainly for us, you, me. We don't feel that. We feel that Jesus died for many other people and you are alone. You're not touched. You're separate from His love. Sometimes you think we're too far from the Lord. It's true, our heart is very far, but it doesn't mean Jesus is far from you. No. Oh Jesus, who can understand this? What suffering it is for our Savior. How can He convince us of His love if even His death cannot convince us? He said He died. But for whom? You said for many, not for you. You are away. There's many times. That's how distress comes in. I called upon the host of heaven to join me in making amends to the Lord for the ingratitude of certain souls. Ingratitude. Poor faith in us. So we don't understand, take for granted that we don't give thanks because we don't understand it at all. Jesus made known to me how very pleasing to him were prayers of atonement. He said to me, the prayer of a humble and loving soul disarms the anger of my Father and draws down an ocean of blessings. After the adoration, halfway to my cell, I was surrounded by a pack of huge black dogs who were jumping and howling and trying to tear me to pieces. I realized that they were not dogs, but demons. One of them spoke up in a rage, because you have snatched so much souls away from us this night, we will tear you to pieces. See, when you do something good for the souls of other people, revenge from the evil. I answered, if that is the will of the most merciful God, tear me to pieces, for I have justly deserved it, because I am the most miserable of all sinners, and God is very holy, just and infinitely merciful. To these words, all the demons answered as one, let us flee, for she is not unknown. The Almighty is with her. You see, so important. You do something good, also you keep Jesus in you. Not the other way, you have go away alone, then you're in trouble. The devil will go away if you have Jesus in you. Don't be stupid. And be strong. And as you are the amazing Michael, and you can fight the... You cannot. You see, it's beautiful. And they vanished like dust, like the noise of the roar, while I continued on my way to my cell, undisturbed, finishing my Te Deum and pondering the infinite and unfathomable mercy of God. It's, you know, when you pray for people, sacrifice, she's the Lord, she sees some prayers, suffer the dryness of the soul. She just believe, can feel anything, heavenly things, just dried. And you have to use your intellect to understand this is our faith. Faith is not only feeling, no? Sometimes we don't say prayer because I don't feel praying. You don't have to feel, but you tell yourself, I have to say. August 12th, 1934. A sudden illness, a mortal suffering. It was not death, but that is to say, a passing over to real life, but a taste of the sufferings of death. Although it gives us eternal life, death is dreadful. Suddenly, I felt sick. I gasped for breath. There was darkness before my eyes. My limbs grew numb, and there was a terrible suffocation. If a moment of such suffocation is extremely long, there also comes a strange fear in spite of trust. You see, even if there's so much trust in the Lord, still you feel weakened. I wanted to receive the last sacraments, but it was extremely difficult to make a confession, even though I decided to do so. A person does not know what he is saying. Not finishing one thing, he begins another. Oh, may God keep every soul from delaying confession until the last hour. So she's saying, you might think before you die, you make good confession, but by that time you have lost your lost your senses. And with times you don't know what I'm talking about. You lose the meaning. So, make an early confession. I understood the Greek power of priest's words when they are poured out upon the sick person's soul. When I asked my spiritual director whether I was ready to stand before the Lord and whether I could be at peace, I received the reply, "You can be completely at peace, not only right now, but after each weekly confession." Great is the divine grace that accompanies these words of the priest. The soul feels power and courage for battle. So this is kind of temptation, no? That you lose the faith. "Oh, my congregation, my mother, how sweet it is to live in you, but it is even better to die in you." After I received the last sacraments, there was a definite improvement. I remained unknown. This lasted for half an hour, and then came another attack. But this one was not so strong, as the doctor intervened. I united my sufferings with the sufferings of Jesus and offered them for myself and for the conversion of souls who do not trust in the goodness of God. Suddenly my cell was filled with black figures full of anger and hatred for me. One of them said, "Be damned, you and he who is within you, for you are beginning to torment us even in hell." As soon as I said, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt up among us," the figures vanished in a sudden whirl. So you see, Jesus experienced this, not the devil comes to him, "Why do we do this?" Even after the good confession, after anointing, still you can have this darkness attacking at times. The next day, I felt very weak. The whole night, you can imagine the whole night fighting. But experienced no further suffering. After Holy Communion, I saw the Lord Jesus just as I had seen him during one adoration. The Lord's gaze pierced my soul through and through, and not even the least speck of dust escaped his notice. And I said to Jesus, "Jesus, I thought you were going to take me." And Jesus answered, "My will has not yet been fully accomplished in you. You will still remain on earth, but not for long. I'm well pleased with your trust, but your love should be more ardent. Pure love gives the soul strength at the very moment of dying. When I was dying on the cross, I was not thinking about myself, but about poor sinners. And I pray for them to my Father. I want your last moments to be completely similar to mine on the cross. There is but one price at which souls are bought, and that is suffering united to my suffering on the cross." So our suffering has meaning if we suffer together with the Lord. That's very important. Don't just suffer by yourself. You are not, can't do anything. That's very important message. When you suffer, suffer to give the Lord an offer for sinners. And Jesus said, when he died, he left a thing for himself. I'm so painful. Lord, take me out. Take me away. No. He said, all this breath for the forgiveness of sinners. You see, in the gospel say, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." It's always for others. You have to learn this very important, very, very important aspect of life. We think too much things for ourselves. That's why we are worried in the gospel today also. We worry so many things about how to know, how to live, and about. We never thought about doing things for the goodness of the others. You just think, do I have this, that? Of course, it's necessary, but your heart shouldn't be filled with this desire. When you suffer, to give to the Lord. Pure love understands these words. Kind of love will never understand them. If you love Jesus more, you understand what Jesus is saying. If you're still loving yourself, your thing, and Jesus says, no, those who love the world more than me, you're worthy to my disciple. Okay, one more time. Jesus answered, huh? My will has not yet been fully accomplished in you. Sure to die, but not yet. You will still remain on earth, but not for long. I'm well pleased with your trust, but your love should be more ardent. Pure love gives the soul strength at the very moment of dying. It's so true. I many times will go to give the anointment, no, for the sick. Some are really dying. You can feel those people are really in their life already. Give it's always for people, loving people, and they are quiet. There's a special moment of grace of the Lord also. They are not afraid. Of course, the people doesn't want to leave the world, and but still, they're kind of peace. You can feel when you anoint them, you are just somebody is very close to heaven. But otherwise, you know, Jesus said, when I was dying on the cross, I was not thinking about myself, but of poor sinners, and I pray for them to my Father. I want your last moments to be completely similar to mine on the cross. There is but one price at which souls are bought, and that is suffering united to my suffering on the cross. There is one price at which souls are bought, one price, and that is suffering united to the suffering of Jesus on the cross. Yours and his, you offer for him, for sinners. And that's the meaning of your life, not for yourself. Pure love, understand these words. If you have love for Jesus, you feel easy. Talk to stools. All belongs to you. Kind of love, those self-love, we will never understand them. So you have to examine your conscience whether you can accept this word of Jesus. Are you open to this request of the Lord that you want your life with the Lord, in the Lord, for the Lord? On the day of the Assumption of the Mount of God, I did not assist at Holy Mass. She was very sick, really. The woman doctor did not allow me, but I prayed fervently in my cell. After a short time, I saw the Mother of God, unspeakably beautiful. Mother said to her, she said to me, that's a word of Heavenly Mother, not Jesus. My daughter, what I demand from you is prayer, and once again, prayer for the world, and especially for your country. So this kind of accent of prayer, exactly the same as the message of Medjugorje. I have any mother talk to the six of, in the beginning, six visionaries. The second day on the June 25th, 1982, it's peace, of course. But then also very shortly, prayer, the same message. For 9 days, receive Holy Communion in atonement and unite yourself closely to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. During these 9 days, you will stand before God as an offering, always and everywhere, at all times and places, days or nights. Whenever you wake up praying the Spirit, in spirit, one can always remain in prayer. Even doing kitchen work, doing grocery, you can be in prayer. The Heavenly Mother said, in spirit, one can always remain in prayer. Although you are still arguing how much you have to pay, then you still, your spirit. Okay, last word. Once Jesus said to me, my gaze from this image is like my gaze from the cross. The gaze of Jesus, no? Of this image is like my gaze from the cross. It's open heart. The gaze of Jesus. Love. Nothing else. Pure love. So, our purity comes from united with the Lord. Not because you don't think anything bad or do anything bad. We can. But our real purity is united with the Lord. Although we are sinners, make a good confession then. Always stay with the Lord the whole day. Doing shopping, grocery, washing, cleaning, everything. Even people shout at you. Thank you, Jesus. You offer this for you. There's a song called Only For You, Only For You, Only For You, Only For You. And this is a song of the Gen song of the Pokhara movement, Only For You. And this always a remain, although the song, the words I don't know, but it's Only For You, Only For You. You see, now some songs can help you. Only for you. Nothing else. Your life, you mean of life only for the Lord. You're not far. Jesus said, you're not far. You are always with me. You're not alone. Then Jesus in the very beginning said, no, don't feel that your parents or your family is still in the Philippines and you're alone and nobody cares for you and you just look for people to talk to. That's not the right attitude. Of course, friendship is important, but more important is the friendship of the Lord. He is in you, close to you, next to you, in you. So don't feel sad, don't feel bad. If you feel bad, Jesus, only for you. Offer this sadness, this hopelessness, the feeling of nothing, only for you. But your life, always, not what we just mentioned. At the hour of death, Jesus, he never thought about, think about himself. Always for people. So you too. Many times you are sad because you're looking thing for yourself. Why they don't treat me this way? Why do you are the you were the center of the world and then all the spears coming to you, shot at you. No. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Only for you. Offer all these things. Thank you for peace. Even what you're doing, joy. It's what exactly our Heavenly Mother is doing on earth. Nothing. He is always painful. Because you know your son is going to die. As a mother, you know, you can imagine. Even Jesus out working outside and then hearing people is criticizing his son. As a mother, he suffered. But always at peace. Why? Jesus. Only for you. So let this word came into your mind. Only for you, only for you, only for you.